Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, dear Heavenly Father. You're so good, you're so gracious, you're so kind, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the friends and family and the visitors and the young people. And that, Lord, just thank you. You have been so good to this country. You've been so good to this church. You have been so good to me and my family. Thank you. Thank you. But Lord, as I step into this position, this spot, Lord, let my mind settle in on just you and your word and your way. Lord, have the hearers, have their attention be brought to your word and your way. Not to be distracted by other things going on. Let them hear the voice of the Holy Spirit calling, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we do this that minds might be changed, lives might be challenged, and souls saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. 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 Good morning, Good Shepherd. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Today, if you would, please turn your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. And in the King James Bible, it reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. In our key verse is verse 10, and it reads, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, our topic is going to come right out of verse 10, right out of verse 10. Be still. Be still. This is not a suggestion. Be still. And while you're standing there, while you're kind of collecting your thoughts and taking in what all God's doing, he's now know something. Don't just be still and stay like you were. Be still and know something. Learn something. But it just amazes me how many people you talk with and you say to them, you say, well, I know that the Bible says such and such, and I know God is going to do this. Well, how can you say you know? I mean, you know, there's many, many, many people who have written this Bible, and it's confused, and it's conflicting, and it's conflated, and it's got contradictions, and how can you know? I can know because all through the Old Testament, all through the whole Bible, God says that you might know. That you might know. Not that you think, not that you feel, but that you might know. And he's reiterating it here for us in Psalm 46:10, that you might know. He said, but the only way you're going to know is be still. Stop running around. You've heard that old saying, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. That's America 2018. The hurrier I go, the behinder I get. And sometimes I be looking over at these other people, and I'm looking at these jokers just accomplishing stuff left and right, left and right. And I'm like, they must get 28-hour days. Look at what they get done. And I'm not getting done with my 24, what I'm supposed to be getting done. And I'm like, what's going on here? I think God's given us a remedy here. He says, be still. He says, be still. Do you know, think about this. Think about this. Sometimes we have to slow down to get ahead. You understand me? Sometimes we got to slow down to get ahead. You ever been on the highway? I mean, you are late for work. I know it's uncommon for some of y'all, but anyhow, you are late for work. Okay. And you're pushing, you're pushing, you're pushing. You got the pedal to the metal, you're pushing. And all of a sudden, you're in the fast lane and you get boxed in. Oh, yeah. Everybody decide they're gonna obey the speed limit today. And you are boxed in and you're late and you're trying to get somewhere. He's in front of you, you're over here to your right-hand side, and you know what? You see that the far left lane is open. But I can't get over there until I slow down and come around. Sometimes in our spiritual lives especially, we just running. I'm serving the Lord. Ooh, we ripping, we running. You know what? Sometimes we do well to just sit still. Sit still. Do you know how much faith it takes to sit still? When God, don't forget, God made us in his image, y'all. God made us in his image. And we are very, very capable of doing, mostly tearing up, but we are capable of a lot of, what did he say at the Tower of Babel? He said at the Tower of Babel, now don't forget, this long time ago, this wasn't 2018 when we got all the gizmos and the whiz-bang things, okay? This was back at the Tower of Babel. God said, if I don't go down and break it up, they're going to get it done. Because he has made us very, very capable. We're created in his image. He said, but sometimes we get beside ourselves. And I don't know about y'all, but I know something about a heaven-sent sickness. I know something about a heaven-sent sickness. You know one of those sicknesses where the doctors look at you and shake their head? I don't know what's wrong with them. And all the while, Holy Spirit been telling you, you know what's wrong with you. I wanted you to slow down. And you wouldn't slow down, so now you're going to be still. Now you're going to lay here on your back. On your back. Can't do nothing but think about me. Amen. That's called a heaven-sent sickness. Not all sickness is due to that, y'all. But when it's a heaven-sent sickness, God lets you know. He lets you know because it slows us down. And sometimes it stops us right in our... You have the money. You have the education. You got the house. You got the car. You got all the things that happiness should... Everything that should be able to buy you happiness. And you just as miserable as you want to be. God says, be still. Be still, slow down, and understand that I'm God. In this psalm, it's a psalm of celebration, and there's some different understanding of what it's all about. The only thing that most of the commentaries come together on is that it's a psalm of celebration. It's because in verse 10, not only does he say, be still and know that I am God, God says, I will be exalted. How is God exalted on every level? He said, everything, do you realize when people get saved and they start praising God and they call on the name of the Lord, you do realize that God is exalted. You know that. Because it says the angels, everybody cheers. God is exalted. But I want you to think about this for a minute. There's people who neglect and reject the teaching of hell. They say hell's not real. And the reason they give is because they say that a loving God would never send anybody to hell. That's the reason they give. And they are absolutely, positively certain that that's the case. But I submit to you, God says, I'm going to be exalted. Now, if God said in his holy word, if he said in his holy word that there's no way to the Father but through my Son, Jesus Christ, if he changed that because of your brother, your sister, my mama, my daddy, would he be exalted? No. He'd be unholy. He'd be unrighteous because he lied. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. He would be a liar. Now, you can wish and hope and wish all you want, but if God has written it, and if God, since God has said, I will be exalted, don't you know he gets praise even for the wicked going to hell? Even though he said, I wish that none should perish. He said, but I got to keep my word because I'm holy. I'm holy. So what that should do, instead of us coming up with some doctrines talking about there is no such thing as hell, maybe that should give us what we need to go out and reach a lost and dying world. Instead of saying, well, you know, I'm too scared. I don't know, who am I to judge and all this stuff. No. Before we change God's word and impugn his integrity, why don't we get up and do what he tells us to do? But see, first he has to get us to sit still long enough and read his word long enough and believe his word enough to have our consciences pricked to go do what God has called us to do. Verses 1 through 5, we're going to talk about, as we go through this text, we're going to talk about having a fearless faith. We're going to talk about God's deeds to the city, his deed, D-E-E-D, to the city. Come, look, see, be still and know. Let's begin with having a fearless faith. This super scripture in your Bibles, it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And then we get into verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I call those four those of woe. Four those of woe. He says, he speaks to us here. He says, therefore, in verse 2, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried, though the waters thereof roar, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. This account, when you see your super scripture there, it talks about, it's for the sons of Korah. This first portion, and when you see Selah, that means just kind of take a breath. Just be still. Take a breath. Selah. Say that together. Selah. Selah. Okay. It's got a name. It even sounds easy. Selah. Amen. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There was an incident that took place in the book of Numbers. And again, when you want to know what God's character is, before we go impugning God's character, and telling him what he can do and what he can't do and what he's not allowed to do and how he has to come around to our way of thinking. Read his word. Read what's written. And I was explaining this to one of the young ladies earlier today. I think it's so interesting that when Jesus was confronted by Satan himself, y'all hear me? He was confronted by Satan himself. And he was confronted when he was at his weakest point. He had been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. He had not eaten nor slept in 40 days or 40 nights. If we have to work 14 hours, we're about through. But Jesus was praying and fasting when Satan, he was taken up out into the wilderness to be tested of Satan. And look what took place. Look what transpired. No matter what Satan offered him, no matter what kind of deal Satan tried to cut with him, look what his reply was. His reply was, "It is written." Did you catch that, church? It is written. Well, didn't Jesus know that that book had been written by other people, had been tampered with? You know, the Old Testament had been canonized years before Jesus came on the scene. But surely he didn't know that some nefarious somebody had gotten a hold to it and changed everything in the Bible. And here Jesus got tricked. Because Jesus stood on the Word of God. Look at that. The Word stood on the Word. He said, "It is written." You will note, he did not say, "I think," or worse yet, "I feel." He said, "It is written." And so at some point in time, for all of us as mature men and women, as we mature, as we go from being carnal to being useful to the kingdom of God, at some point in time, we have to settle in on, if it's written, then it's true. And our job is to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. But what took place here, we were talking about, and he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." What's referenced in these first three verses, having a fearless faith, is look at what's going on in our country today. When you listen to people on the television, one of the first things out of their mouth is, "I'm so scared. I'm afraid of this. And I'm afraid of that. And I'm afraid of this and the other." Don't y'all know? Have not you heard that God, the creator of all the ends of the earth, haven't you heard that before? And don't you know that if you belong to him, you can have a fearless faith if your faith is rooted and grounded in him? Amen. Amen. Because the psalmist starts off by saying, God is our refuge. And who's going to break into God's house? Amen. Devil break in, he'll get saved. Amen. He said he is our refuge. He said he is our refuge and our strength. Because we know that in this world, sometimes when physical sickness wears us out, y'all. And it's not imaginary. It wears us out and it wears us down. But the brother was praying about during our altar prayer, having more month than you got money. Wears you out. I was there in the day before they had caller ID and Ford Motor Company was calling me to try to get their money. The audacity of them people. Just because I signed my name to the contract, they wanted their money. But I couldn't answer the phone because I didn't have caller ID. So I just sit there and worry. Or sometimes, hello? I don't think they believed it, but hey, it was worth a shot. I was scared. I was nervous. I was worried, y'all. Everything I had worked for, I thought it was going to go down the drain. I thought it was going to go out the window. Everything. But that's because I didn't know. God said, "I'm your refuge. You ain't got to be scared of none of that." In fact, what you do is you come running. He said, "Don't you dare fear the one who can only destroy your body. Fear the one who can destroy your body and cast your soul into hell." Don't be scared. Don't be the one, "I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. I'm so." No. God is our refuge and our strength. And he's never far away. In fact, the book of Romans says he's nigh unto you, even in your mouth. That means he's just a prayer and a praise away. He's just a prayer and a praise away. Unlike, y'all know I worked construction for many years, and sometimes you'd be up on your ladder and you got something in your hands, both hands, and you all stretched out and spread out, and you're up on your 6-foot ladder, and you're getting ready to mark the wall, and your pencil drops. And you're like, I really don't want to come off this ladder, but I really need this pencil really, 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 really bad. And you know what? Sometimes I pay people to come be my helpers. And then sometimes your pencil would drop and your helpers, here you go. The author's saying, you know, that's what God's like with you. He said, when you need him, no, I don't need him tomorrow. I need him now. I need him now. Many of y'all sitting out here today, y'all don't want a tomorrow, God. Y'all want a today, a right now, God. And thank God he said to Moses, he said, not only am I a today, God, he said, I was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am that I am. Amen. I am God. Be still. I'm God. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm God. Be still. We can have a fearless faith. And in Numbers 16, 28 through 30, turn your Bibles there. Number 28, 16 through 30. Very interesting account. Very, very, very interesting account. And we're looking at it from Moses' perspective with this issue with Korah. And I'll read these verses to you. 16, 28 through 30. And it reads, and hereby, and Moses said, verse 28, and Moses said, hereby ye shall know. I love that part. When God said that you can know me. God said, with that old crazy TV show with Beretta in it, I'm dating myself. He said, you could take that to the bank. God said, you know. You know who I am. He told Moses, Moses was having a personnel problem, y'all. He was having a personnel problem out in the wilderness. There was a gentleman named Korah. And that, as you see, that super scripture says, it's like an ode to Korah. And Korah didn't like the way that Moses was leading the people of Israel. And I'm going to paraphrase for you a little bit. Korah said to Moses, who died and put you in charge? Or something to that effect. Moses, oh, don't say this. Don't do this. Don't say that, Korah. Korah said, I got my boys here with me. We're standing strong. We got our GPS. We know the way to go. We don't need God. We don't need you. We're going to go. We got this, Moses. We got this. And they stood up against Moses. But understand, y'all, these battles in our country, in our homes, in our lives, these battles are not what it appears to be on the surface. It's always a spiritual battle. It's all, you may think that it's your husband bucking up against you, but the truth is he's bucking up against God's authority and God's responsibility. You may think that it's somebody over here doing something, you know, they're out to get me. No. Always bring God into the equation. Because it's always, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. So if you're mad at flesh and blood, get over it. Amen. Y'all don't like that, do you? So be mad at me, flesh and blood. Amen. But the battle is spiritual. See, they were fighting Moses under the pretense that they were fighting against Moses' authority. Moses! We got as much Holy Ghost in you as we just as smart as you. We got this, Moses. We were out over in Egypt. We got this, Moses. And so it appeared on the surface that it was a rebellion against Moses. But in fact, it was a rebellion against the one who put Moses in charge. You hear me? It wasn't a rebellion against Moses. It was a rebellion against God because God set Moses in authority. So that brings us to Numbers chapter 16, verse 28. Now understand,
Understand, first, Moses tried to work this thing out with him. Moses said, man, don't do this. Back off. Let's work this thing out. And Korah said, no. Verse 28, Numbers chapter 16, verse 28. In the King James Bible, it reads, and Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, now this is God speaking, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Now, when he says they have been visited, man, the Bible is rough, y'all. The Bible is rough. Because God says, God said, look, I don't want, when I come down on these men, I don't want y'all to think it was a happenstance. I don't want y'all to think that, oh, oops, he got ran over by a car. No. God said, if what happens to them is something that you've never, ever, ever, ever seen transpires, then the Lord has not sent Moses. Verse 30, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. I thought they were fighting Moses. They thought they were fighting Moses. But Moses said, I didn't put myself here. God put me here. And you read the rest. Go, you finish out reading chapter 16 in Numbers. And what you'll find, what you're going to find is this. Before they even finished talking good, Moses said, okay. What was that show, TV show? High Noon. That's all I can think about, High Noon. Moses said, okay, everybody who wants to be with Korah, y'all stand over here. Y'all stand over here. He said, now, everybody who wants to trust the Lord, y'all stand over here. Now, notice, he didn't say, do y'all understand everything God is up to? He didn't say that. Do y'all know God intimately and inside out? He didn't say that. He said, those of you who trust the Lord, y'all stand over here. Now, look at the faith that Moses exhibited. Because Moses could have been made to look like an absolute fool. You think God is talking to you, Moses? I know God's talking to me. And the Bible says that by the time Moses finished speaking, something that had never, ever, ever happened before, a new thing transpired. A new thing took place. And the Bible says that the ground opened up right underneath the feet of 250 men who thought they were standing against Moses. But the battle is spiritual, and they were actually standing against God, because God put Moses in charge. And the Bible says that not only did they go down, but everybody who was standing with Korah, their houses, their household, everybody went down. And then, people, earthquakes happen, but then it swallowed them up. And it only got the ones who were rebelling. You know why the Bible, why God puts that in the Bible? So that you and I might know. Not only so that you and I might know, but so that God might be exalted. Because he said he was going to do it. Oh, how would a loving God do that? A loving God wouldn't do that. Yes, he did. And yes, he will. And yes, he does. Because how can he tell you, I'll fight your enemies for you, if he don't do it? I'm cool when he fight my enemies. But then when my friends and my family, I don't want you to get them, God. I don't want you to get them. No. God says, I'll fight your battles. It's a spiritual battle. He says, back to Psalm 46, God is our refuge, and he's our strength. You notice Moses, all Moses exhibited was faith. He believed God. God was his strength, and God was a help and a present help in the midst of that trouble. Because, and you'll see it in other parts of the scripture, them people were going to kill Moses. They were going to kill Moses. But he relied on God's protection. And he says, when you see those four woes, those four those of woe, many of your commentators, when they read, therefore will not we fear, verse 2, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And you know, it really bothers me. It really bothers me that modern day commentators will look at that text and say, that's hyperbole. That means they'll look at that text and they'll say, the earth can't be removed. The mountains can't be swallowed up. That's just anthropomorphic language. That's biblical, theological. No, it's not. Ask Korah. Moses, God opened it up and dropped him in and closed it up. And understand, God was exalted through it all because he kept his word. And I want Good Shepherd to understand that when God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. And he said, because I will be exalted. Whether you want to come along for the program or not, God said, I will be exalted. Fight me if you want to. I will be exalted. But God is, through this text, he's saying to each one of us, before he gets to that verse 3 where he says, Selah, he says, understand when you commit your life, when we commit our lives to serving God, when we commit our lives to serving the Most High God, understand, he said, anytime you want me, anytime you need me. Sounds like a song. Amen. He said, I'll be there. He said, not only will I be there, I am there. I am there. In a time of need, I am there. God is your refuge. You don't have to be afraid. I'm looking at these boys over here. You know, some people, when you're trying to get through college and your grades are kind of slipping and sliding and they get a little scared, y'all. And people say, oh, that's nothing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They don't have the worries and the cares and the things that we have as adults. But understand, if you don't produce, you're out of there. And then it's like, what am I going to do next? So understand, students, young and old, you got a place of refuge. God said, call on him. He said, call on him. And he says, and I'll give you that strength. I'll give you, and some folks who've been in this world, who got a few years on us, we understand about that holy hug, don't we? You understand about when all hope is gone. I mean, you can't do nothing. And you feel that holy hug around you. You feel God say, I got this. You have tried everything you could try. It just ain't working. God said, I'm your refuge. I'm your refuge. And I won't let you down. I will see you through everything. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. That's why we can have a fearless faith, y'all. That's why we can stand up in the midst of a bunch of God-hating heathens. And we can just tell them what God said. Here's what thus saith the Lord. Well, you know, that's ignorant. I don't care. Thus saith the Lord. And if I don't say anything, that means I don't love you enough to try to correct you. If I say something to you, even if you get mad, understand, it's because I love you. We have a little, here in verses 4 through 7, we're going to settle an argument that takes place almost every day here in America and around the world. This is a constant argument. Whose land is it anyhow? Who does the land of Jerusalem belong to? The city of Jerusalem. Who does the land of Israel belong to? Who whose land is it anyhow? Do y'all do realize that this is a focal point for the whole world? The whole world is arguing over whose land is it? Don't y'all know God settled that 3,000 years ago? God said it's the city of the Most High God. And every Christian should say, that's the end of the conversation. Every Christian should say, that's the end of the conversation. But no, we want to waffle, capitulate, buckle, weep, whatever. Well, you know, the poor Palestinians, and if they get right with God, they could have a refuge too. Don't you know that? You could have called me a Palestinian when I was a heathen, when I was rejecting God. But, you know, one heathen same as the other heathen, we just got different names. If you ain't accepted God, you're a heathen. Amen? Now, you may be a well-dressed heathen. You may be an educated heathen. You may be a wealthy heathen, but you're still a heathen. Amen. So here's what God says here in verses, the psalmist says in verses 4 through 7. Listen real good. I love this. There, meaning there, is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. What's the city of God? Anybody? Church? What's the city of God? Jerusalem, Mount Zion. Isn't that part of the disputed territory? I guess God didn't read that. I guess he didn't get that memo. It's the disputed territory. There's no dispute about y'all. There's no dispute about it. And God said, this land belongs to him and Israel. The same Israelites that you see. I know this word going around saying that the Israelites that are over there aren't the real Israelites. Moby Dick was a minnow, and Superman was a punk. Okay. Those are lies too. No, the people who were there, the Jews who were there in the land, they're the Jews, they're the descendants of the Jews who were there in your Bible. And if that's not true, when Russia kicked out the Jews, they got it wrong. When Hitler killed the Jews, he got it wrong. In the Spanish Inquisition, when they ran them out of Spain, they got it wrong. But all of a sudden, we didn't got it right. Hey, they aren't the real Jews. We're the real Jews. Oh, come on, man. Okay, I digress. He goes, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, Mount Zion, Jerusalem, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God's saying, that's my property, and these are my people. It's not in dispute. It's not in debate. It's not for negotiation. In fact, he says, woe unto anybody. Now, y'all listen to this. Listen to this real good. He says, woe unto anybody who divides my land. Well, we got a peace process. We're going to divide Israel. We're going to divide. In case y'all missed it, he said, woe unto anybody who divides my land. And also he says, I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll curse those who curse thee. Do y'all realize there's hardly a liberal arts college in America where you can't go, and they're talking about BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. BDS. All the liberal arts colleges. Let's see if y'all can, I'm not smart enough to reconcile this. BDS, I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll curse those who curse thee. Sounds like there's a problem here, y'all. Sounds like there's a problem here. And I suggest y'all grab y'all young kids who are going to college, who are college age, and I expect, you can't make them do nothing, you can't convince, but I would encourage you to sit them down with the Bible and understand that 3,000 years ago, God decided that's his city, and those are his people. And if you want to get on track with God, if you want God to be the refuge of your, be your personal refuge, if you want to be able to be still and know that God is God and exalt, you need to get on board with God. You need to get on board with God. He says, there, verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. She shall not be moved. 1948, that's when God last, that's when he set Israel back in their home land and made them a sovereign nation again. 1948, y'all. 1948. Just recently, America was the first country in the world to place their embassy right there in Jerusalem. Now think about this, y'all. Think about this. The first country to acknowledge what God said 3,000 years ago. What did we just say? I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll curse those who... This is a spiritual battle, church. I know what it looks like on the surface, but this is a spiritual battle. God says they will not be moved. It was a 1967, Eddie, is that when it was 1967 war? 6 days! 6 days of spanking, I like that. 6 days, and 5 nations went up against Israel, a nation the size of the state of Rhode Island, which makes it about the size of DFW. 6 days. And I believe the count for Israel lost like 42 planes, and their enemies lost like 400 plus planes. 6 days, and it was over. Why was it over? Because, see, when you go over to Israel and you talk to them, they say, because we're so educated. They say, because we're so strong. They say, because our military might is so good. No, they got it wrong. They got it wrong. They survived because of God. And God says, and we need to pray, and we need to talk to them. I'm sitting there, these guys are, when I went over to Israel, you know, just before we went over, they're supposed to be moving the embassy. They're supposed to be moving the embassy. And I heard the Secretary of Defense for Israel. I heard him on the radio. Now, I never took a plane on a 12-hour flight ever in my life. And this boy got on TV, and he said, "We don't care what the Palestinians do. Our defense is so great, nobody can stop us." And all I could think is Titanic, Lusitania. You know, I'm like, don't say that. I'm going there. Let them know, your Jewish co-workers, your Jewish friends, your Jewish neighbors, let them know God has not turned his back on them, but it's not their might. It's because God says here in Psalms, they will not be moved. Well, Pastor, most Jews aren't saved. That's not the issue about them being saved is you witnessing to them. That's the issue about them being saved or not. The issue of them being in the land, that's God. God said, that's going to be done. That's going to be done. So we have to start. We start off with a fearless faith. And then just this little parenthetical, I call this God's deed to the city. Whose land is it? It belongs to the children of Israel. It belongs to the Jew. And it will continue to belong to the Jew. And it will continue to be a point of contention for the whole world, y'all. But that you might know, God has spoken. And he's saying to you and me, I expect you to go and witness to my people. God has said to you and me, he has says, look, I promise to take care of everything you need. Isn't that what he said? God said, I will take care of everything you need, but I got something I want you to do for me. I got some folks, and they're called the Jews, and they are my chosen people. They're not better than y'all. They're not better than y'all, but they're my chosen. They have a special place here, but I want you to, first and foremost, if you're not praying for the peace of Jerusalem, if you're not praying for the salvation of the Jews, I want you to start doing that. I want you to start doing that. And then as God gives us opportunity, witness. You don't have to convince anybody, y'all, but we got to tell them. We got to tell them. And don't you know that God says that, again, when you set aside some time to take care of his business, then he said, I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll curse those who curse thee. It's all throughout the Bible. Verse 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Look, verse 6 says the heathen raged. Y'all, what took place here in our country for the last 3 weeks? Again, spiritual battle, y'all. Spiritual battle. On the surface, it's one thing. On the other side, it's a spiritual battle. You understand? It's a spiritual battle. On one hand, it was, we don't want this man to be confirmed because of this. That's the word that's out there. But church, what was being fought over and what will continue to be fought over is we as a nation desire to have the right to destroy our own children in the womb. We want that. And we will fight and scream and kick to disregard the word of God. Oh, pastor, that's such a controversial. It's not controversial. If it's written, it's not controversial. The only time something becomes controversial is when I don't want to do it. Then it's controversial. There's no controversy. There's no contradiction. There's no swaying of the mind with God. God says, no, it's wrong. And we are bent as a nation to disregard the things of God. But church, God uses honey and he uses a hammer. His honey is, I'll bless those who bless thee. And his hammer is, I'll curse those who curse thee. You go against him. Be still. Stop just running around in circles. Be still. Read the word and ask God in every situation, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to approach this situation? Lord, I am coming into agreement with you that it's wrong. Lord, it's I don't understand it, but you show me, how do I deal with it, Lord? How do I deal with it with my own family? First, how do I deal with it with myself? How do I deal with it? The heathen rage. Psalm 2, 1 through 5. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know what the vain thing is, y'all? Trying to fight God's program. The psalmist is saying, this is insane. It goes, the kings of the earth. See, what's going on in Jerusalem? What's going on in 1900s? What's going on in 1800s? What's going on in 2000? Ain't nothing new. Check this out. Verse 2. Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against who? The Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Did y'all know God laugh? I know some of y'all folks didn't know that God got a sense of humor. When he sees how we try to take him on in our sin, because we want to do it, we think God got to condone it. And we say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it. And God says,